On today's episode of the Natty Boys podcast, we discuss the Cardinals' attempt to replace aging running back Chris Johnson by trading for aging running back Adrian Peterson. J.J. Watt's been officially ruled out for the rest of the season, and Miami's O-line coach got busted doing lines before a meeting. Needless to say, he's done for the year, too. We discuss Mike Ditka's theory that if you don't acknowledge something, then it doesn't exist, and the NFL brainstorms more ways to control every aspect of what its players can and can't do. We preview the Las Vegas Golden Knights' first home game in franchise history. Spoiler alert, they won. And we wrap things up with a fantasy draft of our favorite food and restaurant mascots. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Natty Boys Podcast, presented by Mill Iron Sports.
Welcome to today's show. It is Thursday, October 12th, and Chris Johnson's career is dead.
To be fair, I think he had a nice long career.
So today he was released from the Arizona Cardinals to make room for another old washed up running back, Adrian Peterson. He was traded from the New Orleans Saints, who it was a... Not the greatest matched coach running backs, you know, I guess whatever they were planning on using him for versus what he thought he was going to be used for down in New Orleans, and things didn't go so well. So they got a undisclosed draft pick for him, which
yeah,
I'm sure it's probably based on performance. I don't know why they would keep it a secret otherwise. Chris Johnson out is Arizona's running back. Not that he was really, he wasn't setting the world on fire, and I don't know if he's really even played that hardly at all this year.
No.
Honestly, I don't know. No, I remember when
I don't think he has either.
So.
I think Ellington's been getting the bulk of the carries since Johnson went down.
Everyone said when he got hurt that it was going to be that Kerwin Williams guy that takes over the bulk of it, and I don't really know what happened with him, but I know from a fantasy standpoint, anyway, he didn't do shit, so I don't know if they just weren't impressed with him and started giving the carries to other people, but I don't know that necessarily Adrian Peterson gives them much. I saw somewhere somebody said that he increases the average yards per carry over Chris Johnson by like 0.4 yards per carry, so it's an improvement.
Yeah. Catching fire. They're going to make a comeback.
I saw a couple of jokes, too, that were talking about how he was, I guess Arizona was a retirement community for NFL running backs because they've had Emmitt Smith, Edgerrin James.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of who the other, there was another one or two that were just guys on the last stop of their career trying to catch lightning in a bottle. Like, it looks like they're going to try to do with Adrian. I don't know. I guess... things will be different for Adrian down there. He played in frigid Minnesota. Then he went down to the Big Easy. And now it's going to be awkward trying to tell his son to go pick his own cactus leaf.
I did see a I did see a funny post that said he was a saint. Now he's a cardinal. Next he's going to be the Pope.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was clever.
I saw that this also makes the Cardinals have the oldest average age on their roster, so that's we'll see. I guess they're going with the whole experience factor. Get the veterans in that know what they're doing, and that'll beat out the youth and the actual athleticism that other teams have.
How wicked would that mid-2000s fantasy team be of them? Larry Fitzgerald, Adrian Peterson, Carson Palmer. There's got to be one or two other people on there that are ridiculous.
I mean, like guys like Dansby. On defense, that was awesome, but it's old.
Yeah, so we'll see how.
And I picked him up in fantasy just in case he takes off.
Oh, good. I'm sure everybody cares.
Yeah,
I knew I was holding off on saying that because I knew that was coming. But yeah, I picked him up just on
who
the
you got in
that
your flex.
Catches. I knew that was coming as soon as I said it.
So looking at the Cardinals' ages, they've got Carson Palmer at quarterback at 37 years old, Adrian Peterson now at running back at 32, and Larry Fitzgerald at 34. So they're looking like the all-geriatric team right now, I think.
And the saddest part is it makes me feel old to hear those ages of those guys.
Yeah.
Hey, they're all older than us, so.
But it's just, it takes you back to when we were in, I mean, these are all guys that were young when we were in college, so it's,
yeah,
it's like, good God.
I always think about that when some of the Reds players and some of the Blue Jackets players, when they talk about the veteran leadership, and they're guys that I remember getting drafted when we were adults. Like, they're talking about Matt Calvert being a veteran leader on the Columbus Blue Jackets now. I'm like, Jesus, I remember his rookie season. Mm-hmm. I was an adult at that point. Yeah. So that makes you feel really old.
It always used to be like when you're in line at a gas station or a grocery store, they always have like the alcohol like date that you have to be born on to buy alcohol. And once that number was in the 1990s, it always like hit me like, shit, like I'm getting old.
Yep.
But four years from now, it's going to be 2000, so that's crazy to think about. So
yeah,
life comes at you fast.
Yeah, that could be JJ Watt's motto.
Yeah.
Speaking of, gonna be a lot older when he comes back, playing on all his injuries,
and he deserves. And this is a bad choice of words. He deserves a break because of all he did for the city of Houston.
Yeah. Yeah, so enjoy your time off there, JJ.
Maybe he can just be a philanthropist now. He can just go from city to city and raise money.
Someone had said online, I saw a statistic that I guess JJ Watt through his first like 3, 4, 5, whatever seasons played 100% of his games. And then the past two seasons, he's only played in a total of, I think, 8 games.
Yeah.
So it'll be 8 out of 32 that he's played in these past 2 years. So, I you know, obviously that's just two major injuries. I don't know if this is enough to say he's got durability issues, but, I mean, you got to start thinking about that. So, I don't know if he'll not retire again this offseason or or where he'll go with that. But
I feel like that's becoming a theme in the NFL. It's just such a... They're so big anymore, and they hit so hard that you got guys like Eifert that have durability issues, J.J. Watt, et cetera. The list goes on. I think you're seeing this more and more, just the guys that, you know, get hit every play.
You're right, dude. Joe Thomas had 10,000 consecutive snaps.
At least a big white guy has taken 10,000 consecutive snaps at left tackle. We're not really sure. Yeah. Can't confirm it.
Right, yeah, right.
He doesn't have any tattoos or distinctive markings.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Usually a quarterback in Cleveland screws up before 6 seconds, too, so I don't know that he's had to block that long. So I think that's part of it, too.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So good luck to JJ on his rehab. Somebody else who might be doing some rehab because he hurt his nose. So Dolphins offensive line coach Chris Forrester got in a little bit of hot water recently with a video that leaked out.
Yeah, and I guess before one of his meetings in the team facility, he was in his office doing a couple lines of coke, sending the video to some girl that he's in love with, and she apparently is a upstanding citizen and is a very good person because she leaked the video to make a point. You know, not because she was a jilted lover, because she hated this guy or anything, but she was making a point by saying, "We roast all these players, mostly minority players, over Anthem," which he spelled Anthem wrong, "dogfight, weed, and domestic issues, etc., while these coaches are, you know, getting high and nobody says a word." So, actually, people did say a word because no matter who you are, doing lines of cocaine on a video in the team, in the employer's facility, I mean... That's not a good... No matter who you are, you're getting in some trouble there. So she ruined his career. Not that... To say he didn't deserve it because he was being an idiot, but... It wasn't like he did anything to deserve that treatment from her, necessarily.
Right.
On the surface.
I have a theory here. Really, this just ruins Johnny Manziel's coaching career. because this is a preview of what a Johnny Manziel coach would look like.
I think it is Johnny Manziel in like 15, 20 years.
It's like one of those. It's like one of those South Park episodes where like it's your future self.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this is just Johnny Manziel's future self.
Yep.
Like, yeah, we probably shouldn't let him be a coach. And it's just such a Miami thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Miami.
Like, it had to be Miami.
Like, of course, he's doing lines of coke in Miami.
And what are they paying these Miami coaches anyway? Because he was using a 20, not a 100, which I believe is standard in the cocaine community.
Yeah, I usually use hundreds, but yeah. If I'm in a pinch, I'll use a 5.
Yeah.
You know?
Have you ever... I can't remember the last time I had a 5 that wasn't just a crumpled mess, though, so...
I know.
Yeah, it made it so much funnier to me that it was Miami. It made me instantly think of Tony Montana.
Yep.
But if...
like.
If you watch the video, though, I mean, it's pretty romantic. I mean, he's talking about how much he misses her, and my favorite line that he says something along the lines of, you know, it's going to be a while before we get to do this again, because I know you're going to keep that baby. So that was that's something that's I think gotten glossed over a little bit because of the actual drug use, but it's just kind of lets you know the situation we're dealing with. And then
she's a responsible mother.
Right, exactly. Yeah. and of course he ends it on a high note, no pun intended, by wiping up the excess cocaine with his finger, licking it off his finger, and then saying, "I wish I was licking this off of your So classy.
I think I saw this in a Lifetime movie once.
Yeah.
That's what it did. It seemed like something out of It seemed like something that was supposed to be a joke at first. Because it's like, guy.
It does really seem like
how would you video yourself doing that?
Yeah, I know.
When I first saw the video, I had no context. I had no idea it was a Miami head coach or Miami assistant coach. I just thought it was some random dude that, got a video. Because I saw something about of course this would be a guy in Miami or something like that. But it didn't say anything about the Dolphins. And I just assumed he was some sales guy getting ready to go to a meeting all jacked up on cocaine. And then about an hour later, I saw there was another post about Dolphins' response. I was like, wait, what? Like, this is
Jesus.
This is an actual coach that did this?
Yeah. So I have a theory. This stinks of me, of the dad that goes too far trying to impress his kids or make his kids think he's cool. So I think, his offensive line group was probably giving him a hard time saying, he's old, he's not hip or whatever. And so obviously Dolphins offensive lineman Laramie Tunsil is famous for having a video come out of him doing a bong hit out of a gas mask right before draft day. So Forrest was like, oh, well, Laramie got all kinds of cred for this, so let me one-up him by doing lines of coke and taking a video of that. Now the guys will really think I'm cool, and it backfired on him. It's just like when Homer Simpson wants Bart to think he's cool, and he tries to jump to Springfield Gorge and breaks his neck and falls down.
That's a strong theory. I can buy into that. I think it would hold more water if Incognito was still down there calling him a and trying to bully him into doing it. So.
Yeah.
But now that he's
just
in
walks
Buffalo,
in the locker
know,
room.
Yeah.
He just walks in the locker room and goes, "Hey, Laramie," and this mic drops.
Yeah, so he's in a mound of trouble. So we'll see if he can get all of his ducks in a row. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a line joke. Either way. Players weren't the only ones doing lines after practice. Well, someone who, depending on which side of the fence you're on, you might think was high on cocaine the other day, Mike Ditka, said that he knows of no oppression in the last 100 years in America for minorities that he is aware of.
Yeah, that's the best part. Like, I mean... He was basically calling out players for not respecting the game. And he says within the last 100 years, there's been no oppression that he knows of, which I love that qualifier at the end that he knows of. Yeah. It's like that. It's like when you get pulled over by the cop and he's like, "Are there any drugs in the car?" And like, not that I know of. Like, it's, he's just doing everything he can. So he's not culpable for anything. So I respect that move.
And that way, if something like you said, if somebody calls him out, he doesn't have that, oh, I took this hard stance saying there was this never happened. He could be like, oh, well, I wasn't aware of that. You know, that's my bad.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm not aware of any instances.
Right. Yep.
It just has an all Dicka feel to it. Like, oh, Dicka. Yeah. Like,
yeah. I like
and
Dicka.
And I think that's kind of what he was going for. Yep. So.
Yep. I like Dicka.
He also said that, you know, he pointed out that he felt the Anthem protests were disrespectful. And he said that if players want to protest, they should wait and protest after the game is over. So,
yeah.
Which again, we're not going to get into what we think about the protest one way or another. But if you want to protest something, the whole point is to do it when you have the biggest audience on front of the biggest stage. So, yeah, why don't you go ahead and protest when there's like three reporters in the locker room interviewing guys and nobody else is even paying attention to you? Because that'll really get your message across to the world.
Yeah. It's like in Arrested Development when Lindsay Bluth goes to protest the war and the sanctioned protest area outside of the military base was literally like an 8x8 cage that they could all protest in. But yeah, that is a very Dicka thing to say. And it's just, I mean, he's the only guy that could have kept Obama from being president if he would have, if he would have just won that Senate seat in Chicago. I don't know if he's the one that's actually said that, but I know people have said that.
Right.
Because at one point he was going to run too. So he's no stranger to the political arena. Someone else who is dipping their toe in the politics and probably shouldn't be right now because he tries to control everything else in this league, Roger Goodell. It was reported today that all the owners are going to be meeting to get a policy in order for Anthem, etiquette. I don't know how else to say it. It's going to be outlawing any sort of protest or kneeling or any sort of sign of, anti-establishment or anti-whatever people are protesting.
Right.
It makes me kind of laugh because I just think about, Mike Brown always votes, I feel like, opposite of what everybody else does. So I just picture, Mike Brown just waiting and just being like, no, or yes.
He'll just take a knee during the whole meeting.
I don't know, though, because I feel like there's a couple guys on the Bengals team who not necessarily are, I don't know, I wouldn't say they're, social justice people or, people coin them the social justice warrior type of people. But there are guys that would do it for attention. I feel like Pac-Man would do something really defiant just to be the guy. So I'm thinking that Marvin and Mike Brown have probably said something too. We're not doing this. I know AJ Green too, said stuff about that.
Yeah, there's guys too for the Bengals that you see on Twitter and Instagram that they're fairly outspoken about certain social issues and I don't think none of them are over the top and it doesn't come off as being hey, look at me. I think I've seen guys like Iloka post things and
Dunlap has done some stuff.
Yeah. And they're pretty reasonable with it too. It's not like they're just saying shit to get attention. But even that, the fact that they're not doing it during the national anthem, I think maybe that's like you said, Marvin and Mike Brown kind of said to them, hey, we're not going to have any of this national anthem, protesting. We're all going to stand as a team. I know that they've locked arms during the national anthems, but no one's taking a knee for the Bengals. So that could have came up from the top, or maybe that's just the guys didn't feel like that was the time or place to voice their opinions on things. So, I guess I don't know the ultimate reason behind it, but.
And I'm often critical of Marvin, but I think that's kind of the one area where Marvin, I think, is one of the better coaches in the league is it doesn't seem like a lot of that stuff affects the Bengals. The outside influences, you see with the Steelers the last couple of years where, they're calling out one of their own players for, deciding to do his thing.
Yeah.
You don't see stuff like that in Cincinnati. Now there's other things that we do, the crap in the playoff game, stuff like that.
Yep.
But you don't see a lot of the social stuff in the NFL. it doesn't seem to affect the Bengals locker room.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite part about Marvin. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't win games for you. I will say
that's the one thing I like about him.
He doesn't win games, but who cares about winning games when you've got guys that are standing there to the national anthem? Yeah, so Marvin's got his priorities straight there. And I would probably take a little bit of controversy and turmoil on the team if it meant we were going to win some games or win in the playoffs, I think. But
Marvin runs a military style locker room without any discipline outside of the things that really don't matter at the end of the day.
Like all that on the field shit. We're gonna not do anything about that because it's just
let's
perfect
let Pac-Man
being perfect.
Touch other coaches. Let's Pac-Man like almost assault referees every time he disagrees with the
pretty much as soon as the coin flips over.
Yeah,
it's just like, oh yeah, remember everything we talked about in training camp? Yeah. Forget that.
Yeah, I know you've got Pac-Man who's borderline assaulting referees every time a flag gets thrown. You got Vontaze doing Vontaze things. Granted, it's calmed down a lot. You got a lot of guys doing off the field stuff even before their Bengals that end up getting swept under the rug or okayed. But yeah, like let's make sure that nobody does anything to, you know, like let's rein Chad in and not let him be fun. Let's not let any of our guys, you know, take a stance on things or take a knee on things that they want to do. But but yeah, this is just this is such the NFL thing too, because they got the attention they wanted. Now they're going to just completely control everything like they do with uniforms, like they do with just absolutely everything. Yeah. Like, and Goodell is an evil genius like this. Like he legitimately knew when it was wearing thin with the public, and now he's going to come out and say no more of this because he realizes that they've gotten all of the good publicity they could out of it.
Yeah.
By literally everybody was watching the games to see what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they were tuning in from start to finish because the next game was going to be starting. They wanted to see that anthem protest. Yeah. And now that everybody's sick of it, he's saying, you know what? Guess what, guys? This has been enough. You've made your point. And here you go. This is what you're going to have to do from the anthem from now on.
Yep.
They've become so NCAA.
Yeah.
They really have.
I think the NFL is next level from the NCAA. The only difference is that,
but it's so, but the similarities are so. There's so many similarities there between how they operate.
Yeah,
I feel like the NCAA tries to get as much out of a story as they can, and then, well, this is how it's going to be, and it's crazy.
Yeah, I just think it's funny, kind of seeing how it's like flipped 180 degrees because, you know, a few weeks ago when. When the national anthem protest started ramping up again, you know, Trump came out and condemned all of it, and he had a few comments about the NFL in general. And Goodell, you know, came to the players' defense, saying, "Is you know what Trump said was disrespecting the league, and we stand together, we represent all these cultures coming together." Basically, it sounded like he was siding with the players. And now it's almost like, yeah, he's kind of back on the same side that Trump's on, where, you know, you can't do this during the national anthem because it's disrespectful. So it just kind of shows you kind of how, like you mentioned, Mac, where he basically knows exactly what to say and when to say it to, you know, keep the momentum in his favor, I guess, so as much as possible, which he usually doesn't have any momentum or any.
He's usually the most hated guy in America.
Yeah.
Well, it was.
Right.
I was sick of lightning and a strike twice, and we get the second most hated man in America as the next president.
Yeah.
We
Goodell making a presidential run.
I know we've referenced him before, but anything Goodell does reminds me of the chicken with its head cut off from the Margaritaville episode of South Park. Like he wakes up every morning, cuts the head off a chicken, and like lets the chicken fall wherever his stance is gonna be that day.
Yep.
Bail out.
So well, just like the rest of America, we're suckers, and no matter what the NFL says or does, we're going to keep watching. We're going to keep losing money on it, except for Hefe, who is too stupid to put money on his picks, as he's our leader in the clubhouse right now.
I think Hefe knows that the second he puts money on his picks, he's going to start going downhill. So he's just going to take the...
Anything riding on it, I'm screwed.
Yeah, he's just going to take the bragging rights that he's going to get out of winning our picks and not worry about any financial gain, which is probably the smart move.
Yeah. See, and that's, I know, and that's Mill Iron Sports is my retirement plan. Like, that's how I'm going to retire. My contingency plan was the money I was going to make on using my picks from the NFL picks, placing them in real life.
So, you know, theoretically. When you say that Mill Iron Sports is your retirement plan, you mean that you plan on working until you die, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. But no, this week we don't have a Bengals game to pick from, so we just picked three games that had interesting spreads based on either our rooting interests and mostly just, you know, games are tougher to pick when the spread's bigger like this. So to kick things off, the first game that we're picking is Kansas City hosting Pittsburgh. Kansas City is a 4-point favorite.
Yeah.
Which I think is ridiculous. Be a 4-point favorite at home against Pittsburgh when Pittsburgh's been as bad as they've been. I think Kansas City deserves more respect than that, which is why I'm taking Kansas City, even giving up the 4 points. I think Kansas City wins this by, I think they win by more than 10, honestly.
Yeah. I agree. I think being at home, Kansas City being as good as they've been all year, and with Pittsburgh struggling right now, I'd say Kansas City wins by 2 touchdowns, so I'm going Chiefs -4.
And I think I agree. I mean, I think we see a repeat performance from Big Ben, not necessarily 5 picks, but I think he throws multiple picks. I do not think that they can go into Arrowhead and win with how bad they've been.
Right.
And I think that's, you know, I think that's going to be a theme for most of our picks this week.
I think that's CBS's premier game this week, so that bad look for CBS. I'm picking that one.
Yeah.
Wish they could change that. I think that looked better on paper when they drew up the schedule at the beginning of the year.
Right.
So the second game we have is Houston is hosting Cleveland. And this is another one where I feel like Houston's not getting enough respect at home. Mm-hmm. They're only giving 9.5 points to Cleveland, a team that yanked their starting quarterback, who's supposed to be the quarterback of the future, at halftime last week. I haven't heard if he's going to start or not.
I
know Hogan looked a lot better than Kaiser did, so it's possible that they go with Hogan the rest of the way or until he gets hurt and then they have to bring Kaiser back in.
Sure.
So for that reason, I'm taking Houston, even with the loss of J.J. Watt, and I'm taking Houston by at least 9.5.
I think that Houston will win the game, but I actually think it'll be a little bit closer than 9.5 points. So I'm going to take Cleveland plus 9.5. I think that's about a touchdown game. I don't think Cleveland's good, obviously. I think we know that they're terrible, but I don't know. I'm not completely buying into Houston being all that great. I think, obviously, Deshaun Watson's been playing fairly well, but I just have a feeling. I don't really have any legitimate reason why I think that'll be close. I think Houston wins a close one, and the Browns cover the 9.5.
I'm going Houston. I think Houston wins 30. I think best case scenario for Cleveland, 31-7.
Oh, wow.
I think
that's bold.
I think it's going to be bad. They're going to destroy. Cleveland's so terrible, and their defense is just so awful. And I think with having a mobile quarterback, I don't think Garrett does a lot, because I think they'll, you know, roll away from him. And I just don't see. Cleveland's just terrible. Cleveland's probably not going to win a game this year.
Our third game is New England is at New Jersey. Well, I guess they technically are.
Yeah.
They are the New York Jets. So going on the road, New England is still giving 9.5 points to the Jets. The Jets, their record is a lot better than they probably are. So for that reason, I think New England, especially the way New England's been playing, I think they're going to get up for the Jets. They're going to blow the Jets out of the water. So I'm taking New England minus 9.5.
I'm going opposite of Mac again.
Oh, wow.
Jets being at home and tied for first place, so that means they're just as good as the Patriots. I think they cover that 9.5. I think that's just a little bit too big. Again, I see this kind of being similar to the Browns-Texans game, where I think the Patriots win by maybe a touchdown, but I don't think that they win by more than by 10 or more, so I'm going to go with the Jets plus 9.5.
I am going to agree with Mac. I think we see the Jets that everybody was talking about at the beginning of the year. I think that's going to be a blowout. Tom Brady, everybody will be saying Tom Brady's back. The Patriots are back. Then they'll have a letdown game in a couple weeks.
Well, one thing's for certain, I'm not gaining any ground on Hefe this week.
Yep. But I might.
You got to start making him go first.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you got a shot.
I am curious to see if the Jets try and be mean to the Patriots on Twitter.
Yeah, after their little call out of the Browns that got retracted.
Yeah, which, Hefe, you mentioned earlier, the Jaguars were doing a little bit of trash talking to the Steelers after that game, which
that was pretty funny.
A little bit humorous.
It was pretty funny. Yeah.
Again, I like to see that more out of team social media, to have fun with it, because that's about the only...
We're all here.
Yeah, I think that's the only fun part of the NFL these days, with everything being so regulated and so political.
Oh, they can play Duck Duck Goose in the end zone now.
What? Yeah. Duck Duck what? You mean Duck Duck Greg Duck, right?
Yeah, which, where did that come from?
Listen, if... Okay, yeah. This is a public service announcement from the Natty Boys and Mill Iron Sports. If you or any of your loved ones are from Minnesota, get them help. And you can tell, look for signs like wearing flannel, watching lumberjack competitions on TV, and calling geese gray ducks. If you see any of those signs, get them help immediately. Don't suffer alone.
And also a lot of mosquito bites.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's not something that can be cured, but with treatment and a strict regimen, you can ease some of the symptoms. Don't let your friends say duck, duck, gray duck. That's absurd.
This is just the proof that nothing good's come out of the Minnesota area since the 90s.
Fargo,
District 5 and the... Oh, I forgot about Fargo.
Yeah.
It's
a good TV show.
I stand corrected. Wait,
Fargo's in North Dakota.
Oh, yeah. Parts of it take place in Minnesota, I think.
Do they?
I think
or
the movie.
Celtic?
No, we'll cut that.
Now I'm interested.
The city of Fargo is North Dakota.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But I'm pretty sure it's...
I think Whitty is right, that parts of it.
Well, a lot of people think Hefe should go to Vegas with some of his picks. Maybe when he's there, he could catch a Golden Knights game. Tonight is, as we're recording this on the on Tuesday night, tonight was the Vegas Golden Knights home opener, their debut in front of their home crowd for the regular season in the NHL. And they're off to a pretty good start. They're 2-0 right now. They should have a pretty good stretch at home if they don't get caught up in all of the hype and get a little overwhelmed. But they got a lot of good guys. And like we've talked about before, the expansion draft is much different than it was the last time the NHL expanded. So they're a lot better set for a run. And I mean, they could looking at the roster, they could very easily make the playoffs this year, which is so unfair being a Blue Jackets fan who has seen
makes
them.
I will never like them for that reason.
Tonight was their opening night, or tonight, so 2 nights ago, was their opening night as you're listening to this. And they did something that was a little different that I'm surprised. I guess maybe they got enough money tied up everywhere else, but the boards, the ads on the boards in hockey are one of the premier, other than the four sponsorship spots at center ice between the blue lines, the boards are probably the most valuable marketing space that is available for a team to sell.
Yeah.
And they're actually going without ads, at least for tonight. I don't know if it's for the whole home stretch, but it's all Vegas strong and, we are Vegas to support the tragedy that just happened there a couple weeks ago, which I think is it's a cool thing to do, especially.
Yeah.
They have to win over, I don't know how many people that live in Vegas were already hockey fans, so they might not have the same barriers to break down like what Columbus had with, Chicago, Detroit, Pittsburgh, any other, St. Louis, any team in this area, or even some, national-type teams. The Rangers, and then up in Canada with the Maple Leafs and Canadiens and stuff. They might not have to fight that as much because there's not as many, rooted hockey fans there.
Yeah.
But I think this is a good thing to do to, maybe get a little momentum with the home crowd that you might not have gotten right away anyway.
Yep. Yeah, and you get a little bit of, I guess, the Coyotes. I mean, that area. Yeah. You probably have some Coyotes fans, and probably some of the California LA teams as well. Yeah. But yeah, it's not like you said, like Columbus, where they got to battle Pittsburgh, Detroit, Chicago, St. Louis, everyone kind of in the Midwest, where anyone who was a hockey fan already had a pretty well-established team. It was kind of hard to get them to get a foothold in there for a while. Should be hopefully easier to out in Las Vegas, although I think their issue is just going to be finding people that care about hockey in general.
Yeah, that aren't just getting free tickets for staying at one of the casinos.
Right, yeah, that's going to be interesting, because I feel like Vegas, with it being such a tourist destination, how much of an actual local presence they have with the team, with the fan base, or whether it is, like you said, just people coming as part of their vacation or getting comp tickets from their hotel or whatever.
And it's really, and I know the popularity is higher, but the NFL, it's a preview for the NFL at how the Raiders are going to work. So I mean, I know it's a completely different, you know, fan base, but it'll be interesting to see how it works, like you said, because I know with the Raiders moving there, it's going to be interesting to see how that goes too. Yeah. So, and I do stand corrected. They don't have the white gloves anymore. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Did they get rid of them completely, or was it just their road uniforms have white gloves?
I don't know if it's just their road uniforms, but I was looking at some of the pictures of their, like, games from the preseason and their first couple games, and it looks like they're rocking the black and gold gloves.
Huh.
So, whoever did the creative team went back and finished the gloves.
They got enough experience points during the preseason to get that extra color in their palette.
Yeah, they got the boost.
that's what it was. Yeah, they won a league championship or something.
Yeah.
Well, I'm rooting for hockey in Vegas. Anywhere a non-traditional market that can grow the game a little bit is good by me. Plus, maybe in a year or two, I'll use that as an excuse to go out to Vegas and watch the Jackets.
Yeah, exactly.
Tickets are easy to get, so... yeah, that's good to see. All right, so one semi-recurring theme we have, or recurring bit, is anytime anyone does something a little embarrassing or something they're not necessarily proud of, it's time to confess. So I have a confession from earlier today, and I don't know how much of a confession this is, because when you hear it, it's going to be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. But I am a bigger guy. I never used to be that big of a guy as far as my weight-wise goes, but, I like food a lot now. And, I mean, who doesn't?
See, as some, we all do.
Some,
I think
some
we're
manage
all,
it better than others.
We're all with
you so
far.
I think we're all very svelte.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But today...
fat, maybe.
today when I was, I've been having a lot of leg pain and just walking around a lot more... my legs are getting a lot more tired, so I decided I'm going to get some nice insoles for my new shoes. And I bought a pair that are for heavy men. They are, these insoles are designed for men that are between 200 and 300 pounds. So I guess 200 is really not that heavy, I guess, but depending on how tall you are. But these are specifically designed for men that carry a little extra weight. So I don't know if they just, maybe they just slide a slab of metal in there so they don't break down as quick, but
yeah. So,
but I did not feel proud buying those today.
When are you just going to go from wearing regular clothes to wearing muumuus around?
Oh yeah. I mean, if I'm not at
I
work,
just bought
it's muumuu.
Three.
Yeah. If I'm not at work, it's a muumuu. Yeah. I mean, they're comfortable. The muumuus are.
Yeah, exactly. More breathability, which is important. Yeah. Exactly. As those bigger guys know, the more airflow, the better. So, yeah, I can't hate that. I don't think that's that big of a deal.
I agree.
You
it's
know,
weird
I,
buying them.
I think they, I don't know, it's weird marketing it like that. But they could have, like, changed it to be, like, more athletically built.
Yeah,
or something. Yeah. Yeah, like the
used to be in good shape and then let it get soft.
Yeah,
these are the insoles
exactly.
For you. No, but
and I think at the Natty Boys we do battle weight, but I think the one thing we all have going for us is we're relatively tall, so we're good proportionately built.
Yeah. We're all taller
overall.
Yeah, yeah. If you put my build in a below 6 foot tall body, then we're talking some glances.
But if you're a good 20 feet away from us, we look pretty intimidating.
Yeah.
If I wear a baggy enough t-shirt, I can look like I'm in pretty good shape.
Right. You got to find some of the t-shirts like I found where that are tight around the shoulder and the arms, but baggy through the midsection.
Yep, yeah.
Basically, we support homage, so if you ever want to come on the podcast.
It's pronounced homage.
It's basically a homage.
Homage and Queen City Revolt and Cincy shirts. All three of those make shirts that are fit perfectly for a dude like me.
And that's literally all I wear anymore are homage t-shirts, basically. Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can cut my part where I screwed up their name.
All right.
So, well, I guess someone that is a little more jacked than you would expect, if anyone's been watching TV in the last month, Colonel Sanders is a new playable character on the WWE 2K18 game that's coming out this week.
Man, he ain't real. He dead.
He ain't really dead. The Colonel.
Man, what wrong do I tell you? He dead.
but he's a downloadable character. He is somebody that I don't know if you have to have the pre-order to play with him or if it's just somebody you buy as part of a downloadable pack or something, but you can play with Colonel Sanders in WWE, which I think is cool. I mean, they've got a partnership with the WWE. They've used live advertisements with different wrestlers dressing up as the Colonel,
sure,
just like they do with comedians for the actual TV commercials. So
yep.
So I think that it's just, it's a natural fit for him to actually be playable in this game. But he looks jacked. He obviously doesn't look like the Colonel that you see on the television commercials or, in any of the cartoon stuff. But, so that was our inspiration for this week's, fantasy draft. And it is the most badass, mascots like for advertisement for foods or fast food companies. So there's a lot to pick from. I thought this was going to be tough because I was starting to think all I really was doing was mentally going down the cereal aisle, like, okay, who's cool here, who's cool here, and then I started looking at other restaurants when I drove home and some other foods that I eat and stuff, and I was like, okay, this might be tougher to cut it down. I was worried about coming up with people that wouldn't get stolen. Now I'm worried about not having 15 honorable mentions. So I have the benefit of going first. So my first pick, I am going to go with Noid.
God damn it! I knew it.
Did you? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. I was like, I gotta pick that first because if I don't, someone's picking it. But I knew. I knew you were gonna pick that one.
So Noid from Domino's. I think he was from the 80s probably.
Yeah.
Some creepy, like, it was a guy wearing a bunny costume, but it was like a superhero latex costume with ears.
Yeah.
Yep.
And there was a video game I had.
I love that Yo-Noid video game.
Yeah, Yo-Noid. And I don't know if it was one of those deals where you had to buy enough pizzas to get the game or if it was something that was sold as part of, like, with a large pizza, you could get this game for $20 or something like that because obviously I wasn't the one making those purchases back then.
Right.
When NES was the main console. So, but I had the game. I played the shit out of that game. It was a good game.
It was a good game.
I still play it whenever we pull the NES out. That's one of the games I usually go through the rotation on.
Yeah.
So that's why I had to take him number one, just because he's such an obscure character. I guess we all are aware of him for the most part. Anyone that's played that game and anyone that grew up when we did in the late 80s, early 90s. During our early elementary years. What's up, Noid?
Yep, yeah. and also, I guess I've never told you this, Mac, but that's one of the main reasons I was friends with you as a kid, because I didn't have the Yo-Noid game, so I needed somewhere to go and play it, so that's why I put up with hanging out with you, so I could play the Yo-Noid video game.
That's what you get for being a Pizza Hut house. Or La Rosa's or whatever you guys are.
We were mostly Pizza Hut.
Mm-hmm.
I got to play the shit out of the more impressive part is arcade game at Pizza Hut.
Yeah, that's true.
The more impressive part is that was when Domino's pizza wasn't really that great either. That was the cardboard pizza era.
Yep. The cardboard pizza era was like up until just like the past like 3 or 4 years. Like,
yeah, like, their pizza was terrible until the last.
It feels like it's been forever.
And that's the thing, is I don't remember ever eating at Domino's or getting Domino's when I was younger, but I had the game.
Yep.
Like, we were probably always, I remember for the most part, La Rosa's or or Pizza Hut, or we would even get some of the other smaller, like, Ma and Pa type places that...
Yeah.
Around here that...
Like Papa John's.
Papa... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a good pick. That's solid.
Thank you.
For my first pick, So the main one I'm going with is the Burger King King. I like how creepy he is. The commercials that they had, I think it was like 5-10 years ago, where they basically like superimposed him into like football games and stuff, were like hilarious having him run with it. That was the inspiration for one of my Halloween costumes at OU.
Mm-hmm. Yes, just one of the best ones that
was
ever
one of
seen.
My favorite Halloween costumes of all time.
Just that silent creepiness is what cracked me up about him. Mm-hmm. But while I'm on Burger King, I'm also going to lump in. This is just from a few series of ads, but Hootie from Hootie and the Blowfish, Darius Rucker, they brought him in for a handful of ads. It was when they had their Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch sandwiches. So they had a few commercials where he was just basically singing these absurd songs. One was about the chicken Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch. The other one was the Big Buckin' Chicken. And I just remember like playing those over and over again because for whatever reason they seemed hilarious to me. So every once in a while I'll pull them up on YouTube again too. And at least in my eyes, they've stood the test of time. I don't know what makes it funny, but I find those commercials hilarious. So
I lived with Woody at OU, and I remember coming home numerous times to Big Bucking Chicken and Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch commercials playing.
Bucking Chicken.
And I laughed every time with him. Big. I'd walk in, and Woody would just look at me. Big. Bucking Chicken.
So that's my pick. The King plus Hootie.
That is a solid pick. I'm going to also go with another commercial favorite of mine, and that's Chester Cheetah.
Nice.
He's got some of my favorite commercials. The one that sticks out to me the most is they're on a construction site, and they're in a house that's being built, and they're playing like some weird music, and a dude's dancing.
Yeah.
And then he walks in and stops.
Yeah.
And looks at the guy that's talking, and then they just start dancing again.
They shut the door on him, the frame, or it's just the frame of the house. So like you can still see
it's like one of my favorite Chester Cheetah commercials. Yeah. Plus Cheetahs are just the shit.
The thing I like about Chester Cheetah is in most of the commercials he's got that like cool I don't give a fuck attitude. But he's also like kind of irresponsible. Like he has them like do things that they shouldn't be doing, like if he's like with kids or whatever, like teaching them to I think one of them, like he's like coaching them to throw stuff at people and whatnot. So I like that he's a little bit mischievous, and again he's just got that cool kind of I don't care factor to him too. So
Cheetos are an essential drunk.
He does lose a little bit of points. That's why he fell on my board, because Cheeto dust is impossible to get off of your fingers.
It's terrible.
I love Cheeto dust. It's like my favorite thing ever. No, it's because I'm a true fat kid.
I've got orange sprinkled all over my couch upstairs.
Yeah, it ruins everything.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always Cheetos at work on in the vending machines or at the little mini markets, and I always get excited and I want to eat them. But then next thing
that's
you know, everything you touch has just orange all over it.
That's a tough work snack right there. Mm-hmm.
Especially when I wear primarily white shirts at work, because if I wear anything a different color, you see how much I sweat. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say we all kind of wear the wrong type of clothes for Cheeto snacks at work.
Yeah.
That's
a good one.
Wrapping it back around, my second pick. I'm going to go with a childhood favorite, and I just remember always having a glass of this when I was watching my Saturday morning cartoons, and that's Quickie the Nesquik mascot.
The rabbit?
I used to get hyped whenever Quickie would pop up on a commercial.
Mm-hmm.
They were all over Saturday morning cartoons. I would be like, I'd run into the kitchen and be like, oh, I gotta have a little glass of Nesquik now and watch my Saturday morning cartoons. So brings back a lot of good memories. Just Quickie. Yeah.
Yep.
That's my second one.
I didn't know that was the name of the mascot. I just thought it was the...
I had to look that up to verify that. But yes, it was Quickie the Nesquik. I believe it was a bunny.
Yeah, it is.
So, hold on. I don't think I've ever referred to it as Nesquik. I've always just called it Quick. Like, and I don't know if that's just me.
No, I agree.
But
no, I agree.
I think saying the full name of Nesquik is a little bit of a sociopath move.
No, I agree. Or it's for the fans.
You just don't like chocolate and don't call it anything because you don't drink it.
I used to love Quick. Well, we had chocolate Quick and strawberry Quick. I eat the shit out of that.
See, which one do you flavored like milks? It makes me think that it's melted ice cream. And melted ice. Like, I can't eat a Blizzard fast enough. If I get a Blizzard out of the drive-thru at DQ, I can't let it get any sort of, like, the ice cream can't melt at all. Otherwise, I get nauseous. See, I just can't do it.
I like it when it's getting melted. Oh, like, a lot of times, man, like, if I'm eating a bowl of ice cream, like, I'll like, let it melt a little bit, then I'll just kind of mix it all together.
If you say you prefer strawberry Quick, you're the sociopath.
No, I don't prefer strawberry Quick, but we had it before.
Because that's just crazy. Huh. It's good every now and then, but chocolate Quick's the way to go.
Ooh, do you think that Chris Forrester was just doing lines of vanilla Quick?
Ooh,
I don't know if that's a real thing or not, but it should be. I think people think I'm weird for this, but when I get milkshakes, I prefer vanilla milkshakes. I think they should have vanilla Quick.
I like vanilla milkshakes.
Yeah.
That's just strange.
No, vanilla milkshakes are very underrated. I also like plain cheese pizza. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Plain cheese pizza is good.
I do plain cheese just about every time.
Depends on where you go. If you're going Tony's frozen pizza, plain cheese is the only way to go.
Nobody does Tony's frozen pizza. If you're doing frozen pizza, it's Tombstone or nothing. Get the fuck out of here. All right, so my second round pick, I am going to go with Randy Savage for Slim Jim.
I hate you.
We started it off with Colonel Sanders being in the WWE, so sticking with the wrestling theme, I'm going with Randy Savage. Rest in peace. Yep. Slim Jim's is it's kind of a weird food, but I love Slim Jim, and I love those Randy Savage commercials. Yep. He's a lot better than that weird like fucking Slim Jim guy, whatever.
Yeah, whatever the hell that is now.
Third pick, I was sticking Saturday mornings with wrestling and going Randy Savage, Slim Jim's, man. That hurts.
Yep, should have taken it early. You had two back to back picks. You wasted it on a damn Quick Rabbit. Nobody was gonna pick that. You could have signed the Quick Rabbit as an undrafted free agent.
Yeah.
That's your fault. Learn how to manage your board better, Browns.
All right, so my second pick, a newer one, but I always liked him, and maybe it's because, for the most part, it was my choice beverage at the time, but Keith Stone.
Yeah.
For Keystone Light.
Yes.
Nice. I love he was creepy. He was just exactly what embodied Keystone Light. He was Keystone Light. If you had to say, smooth. Hey, go find me a person that drinks Keystone exclusively, not named Mac, you would find that dude. That was awesome. I always enjoyed him, and I don't know if he's still on commercials or not. I feel like I've seen him on something recently, but I don't remember if it was like a cutout at a gas station or if it was actually a commercial. Most of what I watch on TV now is either sports or the DVR, so I don't see many commercials because I'm either up doing something else or fast-forwarding through them. My last pick on my back-to-back here to wrap it up for me is the Double Mint Twins because sup.
Ooh.
And twins.
Yeah, that's right. So
double your pleasure.
Well.
All right, so my final pick, I am going to go with... So this particular cereal, it's not the most flashiest cereals, but it's a workhorse cereal. I used to love mixing it with sugar, Rice Krispies. I'm going with Crackle from the Rice Krispies. Snap and Pop were obnoxious douchebags, so they're not making my list. But Crackle is good. I liked when the Rice Krispies would crackle. I didn't like when they would snap or pop on me. So Crackle from the Rice Krispies cereal is my third round pick.
Yes. I think you chose the right one out of the three for sure.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of here with Snap and Pop. Crackle carried that cereal and everybody knows it.
I am going with my final pick just because it's one of my favorite late night places to go to. And I was randomly over at my mom's house the other day, and actually saw one of these, is the Taco Bell Chihuahua.
I almost went with that. I like that pick.
The Taco Bell Chihuahua, where it used to have the sayings, I had found the one. I had found the one at my mom's house that just says, "Here, lizard, lizard, lizard." So I found that one the other day, and it made me instant. I actually went to Taco Bell that night, yeah, so it worked.
That's advertising, it's a genius.
Yeah, I was like, man, I really want Taco Bell, even my mom's. And my mom was like, why are you getting Taco Bell? I was like, oh, no reason. It was because I saw that damn Chihuahua downstairs just randomly sitting in a box. Yep. So
that was a good one. I almost went with that one my last pick, and now I wish I had, just so I could have stolen another pick from you.
A couple of my honorable mentions. I had the Frisch's Big Boy because he makes being fat cool.
That's what I was gonna say, same thing. Big Boy, just because he's made in our image, I feel like.
Yeah. I also had Trojan Man from the old commercials on MTV and Comedy Central and stuff. And
yeah.
I don't know that we ever saw Trojan Man. He just always appeared and you heard his voice. So
Trojan Man.
But you always felt like you were a badass when those commercials would come on when you were a little kid. Like, oh, wow, like this is really edgy shit.
Yeah.
You feel like you're breaking the rules.
Yeah.
Like, peek around for mom.
I hope my parents don't walk in while I'm watching this commercial.
One of my I had two other honorable mentions here. I had Powdered Toast Man from the Ren Stimpy Show.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
I didn't use him because it's obviously not a real food or a real advertisement, so I felt dirty using it. And another one in the same vein, and this is since DB wasn't here to do it, Duff Man.
Nice. I like those.
Yep.
My honorable mentions, I had the peanut M&M from the commercials. No.
Oh, no.
The peanut M&M, the yellow guy. He's always with the red M&M, too. The red M&M's kind of a dick, but the peanut M&M, he's just kind of the lovable idiot, so I like him. And when they bring in the other colors, no thanks. Just
I could be wrong, but isn't the same guy that does the voice for Patrick?
I was getting ready. So when I was thinking about this, I was going to say his character and his demeanor reminds me a lot of Patrick from SpongeBob, which is a lot of why I like him too. I don't know if it's the same voice or not, but they remind me a lot of each other.
Which is Putty from Seinfeld, right?
Yeah.
Or wait, no, it's not Putty from Seinfeld.
No, it's the guy from Coach.
Dobber from Coach.
Yeah.
It's voiced by John Goodman, which is another.
The peanut M&M is?
Yeah, that's what I could be wrong. No, there's seven different actors that have voiced the M&Ms.
Okay. John Goodman and J.K. Simmons are the two peanut butter M&M voices.
Yeah, it looks like the red one's M&M, that has had the most.
Yeah, no one cares about him. He's a dick. I had, and this was more because of the product and not necessarily the mascot, although it is kind of an iconic mascot, especially around the holiday season, the Coca-Cola Polar Bears, just because I'm a big Coca-Cola fan. Pepsi.
The fact that the Santa Cokes taste better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they do. Even if it's like a Santa Coke from 2012, it still tastes better than. Pepsi never had any iconic mascots, so that's score one for Coke again. Suck it, Pepsi. No, they didn't. Quit thinking. You're not going to find one. Pepsi's trash. And the last one I had on my list that we haven't talked about yet was Bart Simpson as the Butterfinger mascot.
I saw that on the list too. That was a good one.
That's a good one.
Yep. Good.
For my honorable mentions, I had Little Debbie, which I almost pulled the trigger on just because Little Debbie's been a big influence in my life. If you ever, Kool-Aid Man was on my honorable mentions list. Just because a Family Guy had brought that back and made it funny to me. I also had Ronald McDonald. No, not from Always Sunny. The McDonald's, Ronald McDonald. It was creepy.
I was doing some research on fast food mascots to see if I could find anything obscure that would be funny. And I saw some lists of the creepiest mascots. And some of the old school Ronald McDonald mascots were
they were fucked up.
Yeah, that's the type of clowns you see in horror movies and shit.
Yeah. We'll go with the true cool polar bear, not the Coca-Cola one, the icy polar bear, because icies were amazing when you were a kid.
Especially the Coke flavored icy.
It's true. Coke flavored icy is good. And then my last one was Punchy, the Hawaiian Punch guy.
Nice. I feel like that's a little bit of, like, I'm a Yankees and Mets fan if you're taking Punchy and the High C guy. Or the Mr. Kool-Aid guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I think those guys are pretty much rivals, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Hawaiian Punch is good, and so is Kool-Aid, so.
You probably like Pepsi and Coke, too, don't you, weirdo?
Pepsi's not bad.
You'd probably say Duck Duck Gray Duck, too. You're an idiot. And all right, well, so that wraps up our show today. Thank you for joining us again. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a review, 5 stars only, obviously. Check us out at MillIronSports.com. We got a lot of good content coming to you daily, /weekly, /monthly, /whenever we feel like getting around to it. But whenever you check it out, it's going to be good. So keep coming back to the website. Follow us on Twitter, MillIronSports, at MillIronSports. All the links to our personal Twitter pages are in the bio for that account. And follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/MillIronSports.
See you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.